The Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. I have a burden I feel the Lord gave me to bring to this meeting. And I wonder tonight how much of the fear of God we really do have upon our hearts. It's important to have that. It will cause us to do right things when we have the fear of God on our hearts. I would like to speak tonight about critical times. Critical times. You know, they talk in science about critical points. For instance, they say water will not boil at 211 degrees, but it takes 212. And when the water temperature reaches 212, then it will begin to boil. So that is the critical point of boiling water. I believe that there's a critical point in time. I believe we're at a very critical point in the time that you and I are living in. I read a little article some time ago talking about the worthiness of the Constitution. Now, the Constitution has been in place in this country for over 230 years. And it's been, when we followed it, it's been doing us good service. And I believe it was put in place by men that sought God for direction, for guidance in what they were doing to settle a new country. The Constitution and its worthiness is being questioned greatly today, isn't it? I think about the time that the writers wrote the Constitution. There's a lot of things that they didn't know that you and I know today, 237 years later. At the time they wrote the Constitution, I don't know if they even knew what an atom was. I know they didn't know what a TV was, or Medicare, maybe even DNA, construction of the human body. They didn't know what airplanes were. They didn't know what automobiles were. They didn't know what cell phones were. All these things are commonplace to us today, aren't they? But yet, God helped these men, I believe, and gave them wisdom to write something that would help this country to be able to be governed and be directed towards God. That's what it was meant to be, how men could get along. I suppose that if the ones that framed the Constitution were able to come back and be here in the time that you and I live in, they would be in amazement. They would be in great amazement. And one of the things that would amaze them is the lack of morality that is in our country today. To see the direction that we as Americans, as the United States of America, to see the direction, excuse me, that we are going, they would be amazed. I'll have to confess tonight, I'm a little amazed at the direction that we are going as a country. I'm a little amazed at the mindset that people have today and the willingness they have to go against the very nature, the very love, the very mercy of who God really is today. You know, God, I see Him and I think of His love and His mercy. And we all do. We appreciate it so much. But I want to consider a little bit this evening, if you'll allow us to speak about some of his wrath. When I talk about having the fear of God, it's important, if you're going to have the fear of God, to know a little bit about him. To know a little bit about his past. To know a little bit about how he has dealt with mankind that has turned their back on him down through the ages. And you know, I don't think that we're going to slip through the crack. I don't think that we're going to get by any better than they did. But we are living in a time, and I believe if you'll be honest about it, you'll have to admit this nation has turned their back on God. The people are satisfied in doing things their own way, governing themselves, and not needing one that is any higher than man. And I believe God is very grieved. I believe the Bible says that he is angry with the wicked every day. And I see God as an angry God tonight. I don't know of any other frontier, any other unsettled territory or ground, or a place where another nation could arise that would worship God. I look upon this and I see a finality of things. And I believe this is the last of generation, the last people that have once had a profession and a confession to know God. I believe this is the last frontier. And yet today we see them turning their back on God wholesale. I'd like to look at a scripture. It's found in the 14th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. This is God. This is his words and what he had to say to them. The word of the Lord came again to me saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously. I want to say tonight, I want to apply this to us, to where we are, to our time. Trespassing grievously to me means that I have reached out to you. I have called out to you many, many times. I've given you opportunity many, many times to turn your heart back to God. You haven't done it. We see a nation today that is filled up to the brim with sins, with hatred and strife, anger, murder, all these kind of things that are going on in our country today. I'm seeing things. Us older folks are seeing things in this country today we never thought would ever come around to the time that we live in, but they're here. But they're here. So he said, when the land sinneth grievously against me, or sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and cut off man and beast from it. If we have the fear of God tonight upon our hearts, and we understand him and who he is as much as we possibly can, we need to understand that when God stretches his hand out upon something to do something, then it's going to be done. Once we come to the point where God stretches out his hand, and he is going to do something to the land that has trespassed against him grievously, there isn't anything that we can do to stop that. There isn't anything that we can do. And he said here, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls, but that by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. What this tells me tonight is that no matter how that things can come to a point, a critical time, a critical point where God, when he stretches out his hand, you and I can cry, you and I can call out, you and I can pray, we can endeavor to make intercession. But folks, the time is coming. The time is soon to be here that all the intercession that we can make is for our own souls. For our own souls. Do you know that the 10 virgins that the Lord spoke about over there in Matthew, And he talked about five wise and five being foolish. And when the Lord, when the bridegroom came and the foolish didn't have the oil and they asked the others, they said, "We can't give you any of ours lest we not have enough for ourselves." I believe the time is right on our heels, folks, that when God, as God deals with this nation and sends out the wrath and the judgment that is coming upon this nation, it doesn't take a great prophet to understand these things, folks. We know when we read the Word of God that God is angry with these things. And when people sin grievously against Him and reject Him and reject His precious Son that came and gave His life and shed His blood, we know God is grieved with those kind of things. And when He stretches out His hand, then there's no more mercy. We have scripture for that. Then there's no more mercy. And He talks about these three righteous men. Though they make intercession, Noah, one time when God looked down and saw that men were evil in their hearts continually, their thoughts were evil, and Noah stood in a place where he found grace in the eyes of God, the Bible said. And God spared him and his family. But that's the only ones that He spared. Noah was able to make intercession for his family. Daniel came to the time when his people were worshiping idols and turning away from God, found himself in captivity. He alone was able to pray and ask God for mercy for his people, and God heard his prayers. Job, whenever his children were being taken and they were dying and the things were happening in the early part of his life that we read in the Bible, folks, he wasn't even able to make intercession for his children. And when things get to the point where God stretches out His hand and He sends a famine of people wanting to even hear the Word of God. People don't want to hear it anymore. Don't tell me how to live. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live together. I'm going to do all these things that people out there are wanting to do in their lives today. Folks, God's going to let you do that. He's going to let you. I was thinking, as I was considering some of this, about my own life and how that God allowed me to have my own way for so many years. And I was enjoying things, thought I was having fun and doing things that I wanted to do. And all the whole time I was doing it, things were falling apart in my life. Things were falling apart in my life. My marriage was falling apart. A lot of things were falling apart. But I was doing what I wanted to do. Young people, I know that it's hard for you to understand. I know it's hard for you to grasp this. But young folks, I want to tell you that the pleasures of this world is for a season. And it looks so good. And the devil promises you so much. But he's not able to deliver on his promise. It will bring grief. It will bring sorrow. It will bring unhappiness. It will destroy your life in the end. And also your body. But he don't show you those kind of things. He doesn't show you those kind of things. But I know that to be a fact. Many of us here do. So he went on to say, "If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They shall only be delivered, but the land shall be desolate." Do we understand tonight that when God begins to set His mind to do what He wants to do, that's the way it's going to be? Our intercessory prayers, anything and everything that we can try to do, is not going to change God. In a land of sinning grievously, in a land where God is stretching out His hand, when He has looked on it and He said, "I've given opportunity, I've given time, I've sent messengers, I've done these kind of things," and He said, "It's enough now." When God says it's enough, it's enough. I appreciate the gospel message that we heard last night. This great salvation and what it truly means to every one of us that have it in our hearts tonight. Folks, if you have Jesus in your heart, you better do everything you can to keep him. Because the devil is going to do everything he can to take him out of your heart. Noisome beasts. Well, the writers say that that is speaking about unwholesomeness. It's speaking about things that are offensive to the senses of morality. Do we not see those things today? Do we not see those things on the scene today? We have all kinds of things that are vying for people's affections and people's attention today. Noisome beasts. He said, though these three men were in it. Then he said, if I bring a sword upon the land and say, sword, go through the land, that I cut off man and beast from it, even these three men's intercession will not change it. The only ones that they can save is themselves. May God help us tonight. Pestilence. Do we see pestilence in our world, in our country today? Do we see diseases? You know, we just had this great Ebola scare. And it, not just a scare, it killed a lot of people, didn't it? Took a lot of people's lives. You think God doesn't know what's going on down here? You think God is not justified in looking down upon His creation, giving you and I the gospel that we have today, giving us, you and I, His Son, the sacrifice, the blood? Do you think He's going to continually to let people trample over those things and get by with it? Someone told me one time, where the love of God goes, His wrath goes there too. And God can be a wrathful God, folks. And I have scripture tonight I'd like to read to you to bear that out. If I send pestilence, if I send diseases of epidemic proportions, if I send plagues upon your land, you can cry out, you can pray all you want. If you're a righteous man, you can save your souls. But if you're not, you can't save anyone else. You can't save anyone else. When God begins to stretch His hand out upon it, folks, that's the way things are going to be. I'd like to read another one here in the 6th chapter of Isaiah in the 12th verse. And the Lord have... starting at the 8th verse. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for me? Then said I, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Do you realize that that has happened today? Do you realize that's what the Word of God has done today? In my lifetime, I've seen people come in among us and heard the truth. I've seen them convicted. I've seen the Lord deal with them. And I've also seen them turn around and go away and walk away from it. Make their hearts fat. Make their eyes heavy. They can't see. They can't perceive. They can't understand. How do you and I perceive God tonight? How do we see Him? How do we understand Him? Who do you think He is? Do you see Him as high and lifted up? Do you see Him as holy, holy, holy? Do you see Him as sovereign, Lord of lords, King of kings? One fellow said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Folks, whenever we get to that point, and America is there, we're there. We will not have this man to reign over us. I want to say tonight, God is stretching out His hand. And once God begins to stretch out His hand, judgment is coming. You know that? His judgments are coming. He said, then said I, Lord, how long? How long do you want this to go on? And He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants. Wasted until they be ravaged, until they begin to be diminished and going down, the cities be wasted, he said. without inhabitant, the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Do you know what desolate means? Do you want to see desolate, folks? We're seeing desolate. We're seeing desolation in the hearts and the minds and the conscience of men and women right here around us, in our surroundings, in our communities, in our societies, here among us. It's here. It's not over there. It's here. Until the land be desolate, abandoned, forsaken. That's what God's telling him here. You do this, and he said it's going to go on until the houses without man and the land be utterly desolate. Life, lifeless, forsaken. In other words, till they turn away from me entirely. Entirely and completely. Those of us that have an understanding of God and have a fear of God upon our hearts, I know you've got to be grieved. We've got to be grieved with what we see today. But yet God in His mercy is still allowing this to go on, isn't He? And we can't give up. I was reading a little passage the other day where Jesus had been with the woman at the well, and He said, the fields are white to harvest. I still believe there may be a few out there here and there that want to go to heaven, that want to accept the Lord. I believe there may be a few. I hope there is. But I tell you, folks, when Abraham, as we heard about him this morning, when he was making intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah, God only listened so long. And after he came down to what, 10 righteous people, God left him and he went away. Folks, if we ever have prayed, it's time to pray for our loved ones. It's time to pray for our children. It's time to plead with them and cry out to them and try to help them to understand time is running out. It is getting late. We need to be praying on our knees for our children, for the lost. And the sister put in a request tonight, pray for our country. We can pray for it, but I don't pray for God to bless America. I pray for God to have mercy on America. Without His mercy, folks, we cannot stand in the face of God's judgment without His mercy. You can't ask God to have mercy on a nation that has been killing children since 1973 wholesale. Millions and millions and millions of little babies. I got to visit my last grandchild, number 10, last week. And I saw that little child, little tiny thing, and first off, I thought about God's goodness and His love and the beauty and the life that He gave that little girl. And then I thought about, how can people be so cruel? How can people get to the depths? Do you know we can't continue to do those things without going over the precipice? We can't continue to do, God is not going to forever turn His eyes away from those things. But He's going to bring a nation and a people to judgment for doing those kind of things. And I know that we can get in trouble for talking about this, but folks, how can a nation go on and accept the lifestyles that we are accepted today? Being pushed in our face, forced upon us. The homosexual society, how can we do that? How can God look down upon that and say, well, you just go on and on and on and everything's going to, whenever the Bible says that that's an abomination in His sight. It's abomination to God. Makes God angry, folks. When He looks down and people say, I was born this way. Let me tell you, folks, God, they weren't born that way. But there's a spirit in this world, a lustful spirit, a degrading spirit that brings people down to nothing, that takes away all their morals, takes away all of their understanding. And all life becomes all about myself. All about what I want. How I want to live. How I want to conduct my life. Where I want to go and what I want to do. That's what life comes down to for most of our people today. How can I ask God to bless something like that? He's not going to do it. Whenever he stretches his hand out, you can ask him all you want. But God can turn a deaf ear too. He can turn a deaf ear. I thank God for the saints. I thank God that there's still a people that want to live a holy life. I thank God that we can still have power to live a holy life. I thank God for the truth tonight. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, many, many days of my life, I thank God for the truth. Because when I look around me and I see what is out there, I don't have to look far and see the people that are deceived, that don't know the truth, don't have an understanding for the truth, and see where it's taking them and what it's doing to them. I thank God for the truth. I thank him for his mercy and for his love and for his truth tonight. But I want to tell you, folks, when God gets angry and he reaches out his hand, something's going to happen. He said here, "And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." Would you agree tonight that there's a great forsaking in this land? There's a great forsaking in the hearts of the people. The minds. What has happened to the conscience of our people today? What has happened? How can they do such evil things? How can they do such wicked things? I'm thinking of Jesus tonight. When he was here, I want to make sure that I say it right, so I'll just read it. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you together? I've gathered you together like that as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. But you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't do it. I've done all the miracles. I did the healings. I raised the dead. I preached the gospel of my Father that he gave me. I showed and expressed my love in every way that I knew how to do it." Do you know you could, when you think about yourself, when you're trying to reach out to someone and you do everything that you know to do and they still reject you, how do you feel? How do you feel? I've done everything I know to do, but they still reject me. And they reject my love. He did everything he knew to do, folks. And he said here, "I would have gathered you together as a chicken gathereth her, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not." Then he said something else. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." You know, I see a lot of folks here tonight that's not in my generation, but they're coming along behind us. And I think about us older ones and what we've seen and what we've experienced in America. And I think about the time when I was a young boy and mom and dad didn't even bother to lock the house at night. When people wanted to buy and sell land, they could shake hands and make an agreement. And there was integrity. And there was honesty. And it was so simple. It wasn't a lawyer society, a lawyer mentality. People burn themselves with something hot and they want to sue somebody because they sold it to them. It wasn't that kind of a world at all. It was a place of peace. It was simple. And it was before microwaves too, brother. It was back in a time whenever maybe there were some hardships and life might have been a little difficult physically. But people lived closer to God at those times. People have so much today. I want to tell you, the land of plenty is a great abomination to this country. It's hurt this country because of all the plentiness that we have. And we don't need God. Because if we want something, we can get it ourselves. Reminds me of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. God said he was going to destroy those cities. But he went down and looked, didn't he? He said, let's go down and see what's going on. And he saw what was going on. Folks, he sees what, he knows what's going on today. He knows exactly what's going on today. He knows exactly the mindset and the hearts of the people today. And he said, let's go down. And he said, he saw it and he said, I'm going to destroy it. And he sent those angels to Lot. You know the story well. And he told Lot, he said, you got to get out of here because we can't do anything until you get out of town. Do you have any children or any family here? Well, I've got some daughters and sons-in-laws. Well, go down there and get them because you've got to get out of here. God's going to destroy this place. And he went down to his sons and his daughters. And it said his sons said that he was one as mocked. They mocked him. They made fun of him. What are you talking about, old man? There's nothing wrong with this country. There's nothing wrong with these cities. Why, you know what? They lived there all their lives. They were born there. That's all they knew. That's all they understood. But there's some of us here tonight, folks, that there one time was something better than what America is today. We understand that there was a time when America was a God-fearing nation, a God-fearing people. And when men made laws, they made them with God in mind and His laws in mind. But they're not doing that today, are they? You see, Lot knew better. He knew there was something better. He'd seen the world before Sodom and Gomorrah. But they laughed at him and they mocked him. And they, what are you talking about? Well, I tell you, I don't know how many of them got out of there. I don't remember now, 8, whatever it was. But God set the fire, and God destroyed them. I think about Daniel's prayer in the 9th chapter of Daniel, when he was praying to God for his people, and you know when he cried out to God, you know what he said? Oh, great and dreadful God. Daniel realized and understood. Who holds your life in your hands, folks? Oh, I'm going to do this with my life. I'm going to do that. Anything I want to do. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do this the next day. I got plans for next year and the year after that. Folks, who holds life in your hand, in His hands? He giveth unto us life and breath and all things. My wife had a conversation with her brother the night before I left to come out here. And she told me on the way to the airport yesterday that he told her he's got a 37-year-old son. And he finally had a little talk with his son, and his son finally opened up, 37 years old. And he said, Dad, I hate God. He said, you what? He said, I hate God. He said, look at my life. I'm 37. I've never been married. Don't have a good job. Nothing's going right. And he blames God. I told my wife, you couldn't get me to say that on a death threat, that I hated God. Why do we want to blame God after we have rejected Him and turned away from Him and our life has fallen apart? And we're all down about our life. Why do we want to blame God? And how can we come to the point where we can say, I hate God? Fear of God? Folks, we need the fear of God upon our hearts. Fear of God tells me that I don't hate God. It tells me that I could never come to a place where I could say, I hate God. But people are doing that today. Life falling down all around them. There's terrible, heinous things going on in our country. And what they're doing on the other side of the world is unthinkable. It's unthinkable that men have a conscience that will allow them to take off people's heads, thrust out their eyes. All the terrible. How can men get so low? Folks, I really believe that the world is ripe for the coming of the Lord. I really believe it is. I believe it's ripe for the coming of the Lord. So Jesus, He came to His own, the Bible says, and His own received Him not. So He was sent to His people, and they rejected Him. Now the gospel message has been going out in America for over 230 years. People have been preaching the truth somewhere, some way. And today, you see what little handful of people we have here tonight compared to what's in this city. People rejecting the truth. We're going to give an account of it, folks. Just like they did in Jesus' day. Now, I read to you the 23rd. I want to go to the 19th chapter of Luke. And carry this, just take this just a little farther. The 19th chapter of Luke. Jesus, in this same setting, said something a little different. 19 and 41. It says, and when he came near the city, he wept over it. You know, there's a reason, a good reason why he wept over Jerusalem. That was the city of David. That was the place where God had come down and met and blessed his people. And here he had sent his son to them and they rejected him. And here's what Jesus said to them. If thou hadst known even thou at least in this thy day the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. I fully believe tonight that the gospel message is being hid from people's eyes today. Their ears are heavy. Their eyes are blinded. Their heart is fat, Jesus says, until the land be wasted. Until the land be desolate. A famine, we started out reading tonight. A famine of hearing the Word of God. Folks, from my experience and what I know about us and our people, this place should be packed tonight. It should be packed tonight. There's family and loved ones that we have that have sat under the sound of the gospel and they have walked away from this thing. They're not going to get by with it. If you'd have known, in this thy day, this is our day, folks. And Jesus is speaking to us today, tonight. He said, but now they're hid from thine eyes because you rejected me. You know, Paul said, had they known, they would not have, if they had known him, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known. They didn't know. How is it that they can see him? How is it that they can hear him? How is it that they can see the great miracles and hear the great things that he said and bring peace there in their time and still didn't know? They didn't know because they rejected it. And their eyes were blinded and they could not see. Folks, I can't think of anything any worse than that on this earth. Than not to be able to see the one that came to bring us life everlasting. He said, the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench round about thee and compass thee about and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now, you know, you can tell me, if you want to, that you can do anything. But I don't believe that. But if God tells me that he can do anything, I believe that. There's no limitations. There's no restrictions in what God can do. He's sovereign. He doesn't ask you and I if he can do it. But he does what he will in the affairs and in the hearts and the lives of men and women. He does. The Bible says he sets up kings and he takes down kings. Now I would like to present to you for just a minute or a few minutes here about what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was lamenting over Jerusalem. And he was crying over Jerusalem. And his heart was so broken because he had came to a people that rejected him, put him out of the city, and crucified him on a cross. But you see, you and I go through life sometimes with blinders on. We can only see what's right ahead of us. And you and I can only deal with today. Jesus said tomorrow would be sufficient of itself. Tomorrow may come, tomorrow may not come, but we see what we see today. Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. If you'd have known in this day, but the day is going to come when there will not be one stone left laying upon another. This is not the first time that God allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed. This is not the first time. But in 70 AD, 70 years after this, Titus, the Roman soldier Titus, he came and he built a trench, set up a trench around the city, didn't he? And he set up a siege. And he was going to break into Jerusalem, this city that was over 19 furlongs in length, the walls around the city. Double walls, I believe. Strong city, stronghold. Do you know we can't hide from God? We can't get away from God's wrath when he sends it out. Once God stretches out his hand, he stretched it out. And you and I are not going to change that, no matter what we do. All we can do is plead for mercy for our own souls. And I'm thankful for that. But the day came that Jesus was talking about here. And when that day come inside the city of Jerusalem, and you read this in the book of Josephus, at that time he was a historian of what went on in that time. And he said inside the city there was three factions going on in that city, three men that were warring with one another. Jesus saw this. They didn't know it was coming. I want you tonight to know it's coming. I want you to know it's coming. Inside that city, these three fellows, Simon, John, Eleazar, they were fighting and warring with one another. All kinds of contention and strife going on in that city. They used the people as human shields in their battles and fighting with one another. Josephus said that they were throwing darts and hurling stones with catapults inside the city while Titus was sitting out there waiting to break down the walls and get in. And all this was going on in that city, seditions from three different sides. People fighting for authority. People fighting for a hierarchy. And folks, what does it look like tonight? When we look out on our world, unless you've got your head in the sand and you don't know a little bit about what's going on out there, and we have people out there today that are pushing some things right here in the United States of America. We have warring going on right here. It's a little bit of different type of warring. We have whoremongers among us that are racial whoremongers that are trying to push race and cause that be a big issue among our people today. And folks, a big issue it is. Even our leadership, our great leadership, the highest leadership in our country is promoting these kind of things in our country today. And it's causing great distress, anger, hatred, murder, killing. Not over in Iraq, but right here in the United States of America. I don't know if you heard the chant or not, and I'm going to be very vivid here. I don't know if you heard the chant or not. The people out in the streets of New York, after that police had killed that other man out there, and they said they were chanting and saying, "What do we want?" And the people were saying, "Dead cops. When do we want it? Now." There's seditions going on right here in the United States of America, folks. We can close our eyes to it, but it's happening. And it's coming right down to home. It's coming right down to home. You know as well as I do that our streets are not as safe as they once was. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm giving you some facts tonight. And I'm telling you there's a God that is looking down upon that. And he sees these things and he is grieved with it and his hand is stretched out. You and I need to get ready if we're not ready to meet God. We have another sedition in our country today, and I've mentioned it, the homosexual community pushing their agenda, forcing it in our faces. Once time they called it being in the closet, but it's being pushed in our faces. They want to marry. They want the same rights as God's marriage is. They want everything just their way. And all these things are being pushed out there. And there's pressure upon people. And people are living in a pressure cooker society today. And because of that, their health is failing, their jobs are failing, their minds are failing, their marriages are failing, everything's failing all around us. And we sit back sometimes and say, why? Folks, I'm telling you why. Because we've rejected God. We've rejected God wholesale in the United States of America. So, Josephus said these fellows were warring among themselves inside the city. And it got so bad that they had a big granary in there. And he said there was enough grain in that granary that housed that grain to last them for years for food. They set fire to it. And they burn it up. And Titus out there waiting to come in, the Roman army. And they burn up all the grain. And while he's sitting there arraying his army around Jerusalem, they begin to be in want, a famine. God said, when I send a famine, when a nation sinneth grievously against me, and I send a famine, folks, they had a famine in Jerusalem. Jesus wept over this, remember. They had a famine that was so bad, he said that people were to the point of death. They were walking down the streets, dragging their boxes behind them. And when they felt it was time to die, they just lay down in their boxes and died. He said the stench of death was so strong in that place that they were taking him behind the walls of the city and throwing him over into the ravine to get the stench of death out of the city. Say, Brother Larry, that doesn't sound very edifying to me. Let me tell you, folks, we don't live in a make-believe world. This is not a fairy tale world. This is reality that we are dealing with an almighty God that hates sin. Sin separates from God, doesn't it? This is reality. This happened. And Jesus knew it was going to happen. And he wept on it. If you'd have known, if you would have only known in your day, but you didn't. Now it's hid from your eyes. And oh, folks, it's hid from so many people's eyes today. They can't see. And I know there'll be many, there'll probably be few here tonight. I hope it's not a whole lot that say, Brother Larry, you don't know what you're talking about. And what you're saying is not, folks, well, I know what I'm talking about. And I know this is right. And I know the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I know the Bible says that. These fellows here rejected him. And so God sent wrath. And he sent judgment on Jerusalem. It got to the point where people had nothing to eat. You know, when people don't have anything to eat, it said the soldiers were breaking into the homes looking for any morsel of food they could find. Lord, help us tonight. There's other things that's a little more graphic that I'm not going to say tonight. But it got really bad. It got really bad. And it said that when Titus, the general, finally broke in and got inside Jerusalem, it was nothing but chaos, destruction. Only one wall of the temple was left standing. And he tore it down. Said he stood there and he looked at their temple and he shook his head. These people that once worshiped their mighty God tore down the walls of their place of worship. And he went in and tore the last wall down. Folks, don't ever think that this can't happen to America. God has stretched his hand out over us tonight. I want to read another scripture, if I could. It's found in 2 Chronicles. I said that this is not the first time that Jerusalem went down. In 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, this is a critical time. Second Chronicles 36 and 11. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Lord, have mercy. You know, the kings were in a place of opportunity to be good leaders over God's people. God put them in a place like a place of a shepherd, that they could watch over them and care for them and protect them and fight against their enemies. And when these men that were kings turned their hearts against God and did evil things, God sent his wrath and he judged them. And it said here, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Wouldn't humble himself to the prophet. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck. And he hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Folks, we see it all the time. Hardening their hearts, stiffening their necks, turning away from God. Don't want to hear it. I want to talk about sports, Dad. I want to talk about entertainment, movies or something that I've seen, Dad. And this dad don't want to talk about that stuff. And they know that. But they don't want to hear what Dad has to say. Oh, my heart goes out to souls tonight that are so insensitive to the things of God. So insensitive to who he is, to what he is. They don't realize what they're dealing with, who they're dealing with. They don't realize it. He said, moreover, the chief priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. You see, the leader, when he got defective, he caused the others to go the same way. He caused the others to have the same mindset. Don't I see that today? Don't I see our leaders today, our ungodly leaders today? I'll call them ungodly leaders. They're ungodly leaders. Don't I see them taking the country, the direction away from God, and the people going with them? You know, there's just a small percentage that are leaders and a greater percentage of people that are followers. Propaganda was used back in Hitler's day. It's being used again today, right here in our own country. Agendas being pushed, hatred being worked up, strife, anger, murder, all the terrible, terrible things in the land of the free. We still have our freedom, some freedoms left, don't we? Thank the Lord we can assemble in an open public place like this and worship God in the way that we believe God desires to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth. But it said here, the Lord God. See, he saw this that was going on. He knew Zedekiah's heart. He knew the people's heart. And he knows America's heart tonight. And it said, the Lord God of their father sent to them by his messengers, rising up many times and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. I do believe there'll be a time when his mercy will run out. I do believe that. I'm praying that it won't be in my day. But I believe there'll be a time when his mercy runs out, Brother Leslie. He sent people, messengers, many times, and he had compassion. The Bible says it's not his will that any should perish. Think about that. He doesn't desire just one soul to perish, but that all men should come to repentance. And that's what we will not humble ourselves and do, is come to repentance. So it said here, they mocked the messengers, just like they mocked Lot. They mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy, no healing. There was nothing God could do. He had done everything he knew to do. He sent his messengers. He sent his word. He tried to stir up the people and turn their hearts back to him, but it came to the point. Can you imagine living in a world where there's no more opportunity for healing? No more remedy? Therefore, God brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young men or maiden, old men or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. It's God's to give, folks. When he brought his people out of bondage, he said, I gave Egypt and Ethiopia a ransom for you. God will pour out his heart for a soul. He'll go the last mile for a soul. He'll give every opportunity that he can give for a soul. But then there will come a time after being rejected that he will send his wrath, his judgment upon that soul. Then he brought upon them the Chaldeans. And it said, all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king and the princes, all these be brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burn all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. The place where God once said, I will come down and worship with you there. They burned it down. They destroyed it. And Jesus came along in his day, he did everything that he knew to do. God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And they didn't believe. They didn't know in their day what they were rejecting. Do we know today that when we reject the Spirit of the Lord, dealing with our, do we know what we're rejecting? Yes. I can live my life the way I want to live it until God says it's enough. I can do what I want to do and do it how I want to do it until God says it's enough. I don't have to listen to mom and dad. I don't have to listen to those that tell me they've been through this and experienced all that. I don't have to listen to that. I can live my life my own way and do my own thing. Let me tell you, folks, one day we'll be in the hands of a living God. And it says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is the Christ. I want to read one more scripture, and Lord willing, I'll be finished. It's found in 2 Thessalonians, 1st chapter. And to you, verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. Have you ever closed your eyes and pictured what the final judgment day would be like? You know, I've thought about that, and I thought, you know, Lord, I've talked to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, I'm trying to live as close to You as I know how. I'm trying to keep my life right. I'm trying to do what You want me to do. I'm trying to do this thing right because I want to go to heaven. Brother right over here, I've heard him say it many times, and I've repeated it. I'm desperate to go to heaven. And I thought about that final day. He said He's coming in flaming fire. It says the angels are going to be with Him. But what I think about is, Lord, will I have done enough? Have I really done this right? Is there anything at all that will stand in the way between You saying to me, enter into the joys of Thy rest, or depart from me into everlasting darkness? Lord, have I done it right? Have I done it all in the dealing with the affairs of others? Dealing and giving counsel and dealing with problems and whatever it is that I've had to be involved in. Lord, have I done it right? Because when that time comes, there'll not be another opportunity to do it right. But it's coming. We can sit here and say, oh, that's a long time away. No, it isn't. It's not a long time away. No, we see the ripening. The finishing up of things right now in the world that we live in today. And He said He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told them when He was here, the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you at the last day. We might be able to speak for ourselves now. We might be able to stand up for ourselves, but I tell you, at that day, we won't have nothing to say. We will be judged righteously by a righteous God, taking vengeance. You know, I see the vengeance of what's going on in our world today. I sure don't want the vengeance of God. Because that what's going on today is no comparison to God's vengeance. When it sends souls into everlasting destruction, into hell, in eternity forever. One day this will be a reality. And there may be even some here tonight that their minds will go back to messages that they've heard, such as this. Think, boy, I should have listened. I should have got ready. I should have took heed. Now the opportunity's lost. Now there's no more opportunity. He said, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? Do you know that that's the only way that you and I could stand to live here in this world right now today is because God's presence is still here with us? What do you think it would be like if when he withdraws His presence and His Spirit? Back in my day, when God was dealing with people, there was conviction upon people's hearts. I saw people tremble. I trembled. I shook when God was dealing with me. But do you know, with all these things that I've been talking about tonight going on, God is withdrawing His umbrella of conviction upon the hearts of men and women. And we can't blame God for it. The only one we have to blame is ourselves. Because people have rejected Him and turned themselves away from God. Can you imagine forever and ever and ever never being in the presence of God again? It's hard for me to grasp. I don't know that I can grasp that, but I know one thing. I don't want it. I don't want it. And I know another thing. You don't either. Hey, none of us want to be separated from the presence of God, folks. But it says here that He shall come to be glorified in His saints. There'll be some, they'll be crying out for Him to come. Calling for Him to come, pleading for Him to come. Jesus said that would be so. But there'll be many that will be crying out for mercy. And mercy will not be offered. It'll be too late for that mercy then. May God help us tonight. I didn't do a very adequate job, I know, in painting this burden that I have in my heart. Folks, I want you to understand, this is not a fairy tale world. It's not about Cinderella, Donald Duck, and Mickey Mouse, and all that silly stuff. This is about our souls. How much value do you place on your soul? All the pleasures and the things that look so appetizing to you that you want, that you just gotta have, is that more valuable than your soul? Is that more precious to you than where your soul is going to spend eternity? You make the choice. You and I, everyone, make a choice where we're going to spend eternity, don't we? We, everyone, make that choice. May the Lord help us tonight. I pray that He's dealing with somebody. That He's helping us to understand. Lord, I want to be sure that I don't have anything standing in the way when that day comes. Because that day is surely coming. And it looks to me like it's coming on us mighty quickly. May God have mercy on us tonight. As we sing a song, let's consider our hearts, consider our lives, where we are with God. Because folks, when God stretches out His hand, it'll be too late for us to do anything about it. May the Lord have mercy on us tonight. Amen. Thank you for your time and attention.